Questions about equity in college admissions continue after the conclusion last week of the Harvard admissions lawsuit. A federal judge ruled Harvard does not discriminate against Asian Americans in its admissions process, but also said the school should look to improve its practices through implicit bias training. So, what is implicit bias training? As director of equity and inclusion with a Boston-based consulting group, Carney Sando & Associates in Boston, Lawrence Alexander has conducted implicit bias training programs at universities around the country. He joined us to talk about how to overcome bias in college admissions.
We know, and it's quite paradoxical, that American higher education was not created for all Americans. And in a just, fair, and equitable process, admissions officers ought to have all of the available information about students to make the best decisions about them.
So when you say all of the available information, what do you mean? Give us a thumbnail.
Sure. Currently, you will be able to point to the low-hanging fruit. We have a student's demography. We have a student's school. We have a student's family's income information, test scores, and we have transcripts. We also need to have a context to put that in. What's the zip code this kid comes from? What is this student's ethnic and racial identity? Is this student first generation? Is this student coming from families with means such that this process, while onerous, is not new to them? The scuttlebutt that's been in the periphery of the Harvard case is about the context, not the content that we're able to put students in. And I believe to make the fairest decisions, we need both content and context.
Well, let me ask you about one possible aspect of that. The plaintiffs in the case, the group Students for Fair Admissions, argued unsuccessfully that Asian Americans were discriminated against in Harvard admissions using things like personality scores instead of performance. In your training at other universities around the country, have you seen that?
Using a measure like a personality score represents and is wrought with a particularly Western bias. Because for many Asian students and many Chinese students within our process who are taught to be deferent to adults and to respect them, not to make eye contact, who are particularly minded after their academics and having almost a laser-like focus, something like a Western lens with regard to something like personality is wrought with bias. As I work with universities around the country, we're actually digging into how problematic these metrics are for students from underrepresented backgrounds.
So for those not familiar, let me ask you to describe what implicit bias training means.
Absolutely. So we do it all the time. You make implicit associations about a good neighborhood, a bad neighborhood, a good place to turn right, a bad place to turn left. And if you follow that line of logic, we can pretty easily see this in the college admissions process. I'll give you an example. There are many folks who read applications who will look at students' essays and point to syntax and grammar and dotting I's and crossing T's. I've worked with many students who had no laptops, who had no Wi-Fi. They were doing their best to write their essays in their phones. Those kids are just trying to get this thing done. They don't have the time or the resources or the other adults to proofread and spell check, etc. So if we're not careful in terms of calling balls and strikes, our application process will be wrought with implicit bias.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that although college admissions officers may be thinking that they're playing fair, they may be exhibiting some bias even though they have no idea that they're doing it.
Yes. You know, it always strikes me for folks who are difference blind and say things like, I don't see color. Race matters. Gender matters. Sexual orientation matters. Socioeconomic status matters. The vast majority of students that I have helped with financial aid applying to college have been white students in the rural North Country. If we are not careful, we will other and make monoliths of entire people groups. And one of the groups who will suffer the most are unaccounted portions of white students in the application process.
I guess I'm specifically wondering whether it's tougher at elite, really selective universities.
I think the burden of proof still sits there for many quote-unquote selective universities who will lean on their selective history and selective identity and make that somehow synonymous with being inclusive. Upon further review, if they pull the process over, they will discover that their processes are only continuing the exclusion of many students who belong at the universities. And so what I've actually seen, that it's less about institutional type and really about the vision of the persons who are the decision makers at institutions. I've talked at folks who are levels below who want to do implicit bias training, but they can't get through to the people that actually hold the purse strings. However, in my 40-mile, two-hour drive from South Dartmouth this morning, my phone has been ringing off the hook. And so certainly while I believe many of those folks want to do this work well, they're also doing it late. And if nothing else, this Harvard ruling has made implicit bias that many offices have seen as a luxury item a necessity, because it is.
The Harvard lawsuit for at least some, maybe many universities will prompt change, but I'm wondering your opinion on what it'll take to have real equity in college admissions and what would an equitable system actually look like?
Sure. I think that it's going to take some courageous acknowledgments that are really obvious. It's going to take the acknowledgement that the majority of these U.S. News and World Report top-ranked institutions are historically and predominantly still white. A colleague who I think the world of, Rosetta Lee, talks about this way. She asks in a room how many people are right-handed and how many people are left-handed and how many people are ambidextrous. Every time she does it, the majority of the room is right-handed. And she offers this idea. Well, what if we just decided that we were going to include everyone in the world who was left-handed and or ambidextrous? Well, what would that do for door handles? What would that do for best teacher of the year mugs, who, if you're right-handed, tell everyone that you're the best teacher, but if you're left-handed, only tell you?
The lawsuit is also being viewed as another shot at affirmative action, which some believe favors race and diversity over achievement. What's your take on that? Is it discrimination to factor race into admissions?
I love this question, and it may be the best question we've talked about today. I think about affirmative action as the smallest kid on the playground that the bully picks on. The bully skips past 400 years of slavery, institutionalized racism, Jim Crow, which was legalized segregation based on race, 1954 Brown v. the Board of Ed. And of all the kids in the playground who really want to fight, they pick on the nice kid sitting in the middle of the playground who just wants to invite everybody to the table, affirmative action. Why not pick on standardized test scores? Why not pick on the history of affordable housing and public education? Why not pick on the other kids who really want to fight? And so I feel like in this process, if we make the acknowledgement that affirmative action is imperfect, and it is, if it has racial implications toward bias, and it does, why not pick on the other kids? And so for me, I would say to that bully, pick on someone your own size. And if you won't fight all the kids in the playground, leave affirmative action alone. I have children for whom this is absolutely consequential. I know that there is a country, and maybe by it, a world, that are depending on us getting this right.
Lawrence Alexander, thanks a lot for speaking with us. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you, Bob.
Lawrence Alexander is Director of Equity and Inclusion with a Boston-based consulting group, Carney Sando and Associates. He's conducted implicit bias training programs at universities around the country.